So what's everybody's favorite long-term food? Like food that's shelf-stable for an incredibly long time.
Oh, it's got to be lentils,
like,
for me.
Cheese?
Cheese?
Yeah.
Todd just has like a cheese cellar with those big wheels with like the blue mold on them.
You can put them in cans.
Barrels?
No.
Canned
cheese? Cheese, because cheese is mold. Right, so if there's some mold on your cheese, you're just getting more cheese.
That's
from
right.
Your
it just grows. It's like a Minecraft system.
Yeah. Wait. This is giving me a flashback. Yeah. When we went to Todd's house and he was like, "Oh yeah, guys, don't go into my bathroom because I'm growing cheese," and he just had like forgotten to take out the trash and it was turning into like a pile of mold. And he was like, "Yeah, I think in like 2 months, it smells really bad right now, but it's supposed to become cheese in like a couple more months."
That's not true. That didn't happen. All right.
Yeah, I've been reading Gizmodo, and and they said that if you don't flush your toilet, you get cheese.
Do you guys remember my old apartment where I had that like salad platter that I stole from work, and I just left it there for 3 months and just to see what would happen?
I don't know if I saw that. It had salad on it?
There was just like a serving size salad platter in my fridge, just taking up an entire shelf for 3 months as the lettuce slowly just disintegrated.
I didn't mention it. You never mentioned it, but it was scary.
Yeah.
I was just curious to see what happened.
I would open that fridge and see that shit and be like, I'm not eating anything out of this fridge. Do you have like a
granola everything else
bar
was great.
I can try like
the only other things in that fridge were Chinese leftovers and
seltzer. Yeah, it was a pretty empty beer. It was like a big thing.
All right, fair.
Yeah, seltzer, it was an empty fridge. Just like seltzer and beer and Yeah,
because what do you need? What else do you need?
Fair enough.
Yeah. If you're a bachelor and you need a podcast.
I got this huge salad platter. This is shelf stable. You know, I keep like 10 of these in the bunker.
Yeah, salad is the one
just
thing
room temperature.
Stays.
It's no problem.
Yeah. I'm saying like salad grows outside at all temperatures, so I figure it's like probably fine at room temperature as well.
Just buying I get all my agricultural advice from video games. So I bought a huge bag of lettuce and I just walked around my yard planting leaves.
Okay, you say that, but that's actually how you grow more lettuce.
That's true.
You can propagate lettuce from a leaf of lettuce.
Every single plant is basically a potato. That's 100% correct.
Yep. Is tuna shelf stable? Because it's in a can?
Yeah, in a little can. Yeah. If you get it in oil, it's also a source of fuel. Think about that.
That's true.
I got my tuna fueled car.
I recommend going on YouTube and looking up like tuna candles, because if you ever are like, oh, I've gone camping and I didn't bring enough sources of light, but I've got all this tuna in oil, well, you're in luck, buddy.
Seen those. I think it's pretty reasonable, but I do like Bryn's vision of like a guy and just like the weirdest car you've ever seen that smells horrible. Like it smells like the fishmonger, like driving up to your house at 20 miles an hour and is like, I need like 50 more cans of tuna to get home, but like this was very bio efficient the way I drove here.
Yeah, if the Democrats have their way and get the Green New Deal, all of our cars are going to run
tuna.
Yeah, well those were a thing
our
for
skin's
a while.
Gonna be amazing,
right? Like they have cars where like you can just put spent like industrial restaurant oil in them.
Oh yeah.
And so for
I think
fuel,
you're thinking of that car from Back to the Future.
That's what I've been thinking all the time.
The Mr. Fusion.
Yeah,
just like dumping banana peels and shit in, turning it into.
I mean,
plutonium.
It's just it's nuclear energy, right? Like
that's right.
That's the whole thing. Like people have been psyoped into thinking that's bad. Meanwhile, like there's. Did you guys see that picture of solar panels in like Norway getting defrosted by helicopter?
Solar?
No, I didn't. But that sounds
crazy.
No,
not solar panels. A windmill. Getting like it's like
oh right.
There's all these like renewable energy is great, whatever. But like, why aren't we just doing?
I don't know. Why
so many people have been fucking brainwashed into thinking nuclear is bad? And it's like, sure, nuclear is bad if the U.S. government is administrating like the way that nuclear power is working. But like, on its own as a technology, it's one of the most potentially like life saving and life enhancing energy sources we have on this planet.
Yeah, I agree.
And the fact that like we've just convinced like a bunch of people in like PETA and Greenpeace that like nuclear is a bigger threat to us than the oil companies or some insane, like what the fuck are you talking about?
It's terrible.
It's just ridiculous.
It's like because of our monkey brains are much more able to spot like a distinctive like humongous risk like a nuclear power plant melting down than just like a slow risk of like coal burning for decades, but that kills so many more people from like coal power plants and whatever oil power plants.
Or what about the fucking oil spills? Like how
oil
much
spills?
Ecological damage is there in an average nuclear meltdown versus like however million ton tanker just leaking into the fucking Gulf of Mexico or like off the coast of Alaska for like 6 fucking months. Like, they've got to be comparable, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know, actually, the Exxon Valdez created new types of species. So, you know, you got to thank the oil companies for that.
Mm-hmm. Probably very tasty.
I, for one, welcome our oil, our petroleum eating bacteria overlords, honestly. Like, they're going to do a better job than we ever could have.
Yeah, that's true. In like 2 billion years, aliens show up and are like, I guess this is a planet that's mostly run by bacteria that eat whatever this plastic stuff is. They can't see any intelligent life here.
Douglas Adams was off the mark when he had Ford Prefect like name himself that when he came to Earth, because he thought cars were the dominant species. You had to go one order of importance lower down to the fuel.
Do you ever think your dog just thinks cars are like a big animal that you get inside?
Yeah, all the time.
Like, what do you think dogs think cars are?
I've thought about that. Buffalo, little, yeah.
They probably think of them as
I
rooms.
Have thought about that, and I think it's buffalo.
Just a moving room. Yeah.
But then what does a dog think a room is? Like, what does a dog think walls and ceilings are? Just like a weird outside?
A cave.
Yeah,
I mean, when I sit down with my dog to watch TV at the end of a day, that's just like the primordial me as a caveman sitting down with my wolf to watch a steadily dying fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Covered in fur.
Same thing. I feel that.
Speaking of returning to monkey, this guy here, he figured out a new way to get food, which was using a website to ask for it and then get it.
This guy appears. I don't understand what this guy did wrong.
This guy appears to have. It says he's his name is Gemini Rarikawai Dixon. He's 33 years old, and he's charged with, quote unquote, directly accessing a computer system, which I didn't know was a crime. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Look, it's not about what the fucking crime is. They'll just charge you with fucking anything.
Yeah, they don't care.
It's just a show of power.
And this guy went on a perfectly legitimate pizza website and did nothing that apparently can't be described as anything more than direct access the website. And as a result of that, he had pizza and drinks delivered to his house free of charge. I'm not seeing a fucking crime here.
It just says dishonestly obtaining food.
Yeah, I think I read like a different. I was like trying to figure out because I was like, why do they say it in such a weird roundabout way where it doesn't say hacking? And I think I read an article that at the bottom was like, correction, an earlier version of this article said that he hacked into the website. He merely accessed it. So I feel like they just like left it completely accessible to the public and he just like went to it and was like, deliver a pizza to this guy's house.
Yeah.
And the website said, okay, we'll do that. And then they were like, what? You can't do that. That's not allowed.
And so they fucking charged him with the crime.
Terrible.
Many
this guy
times,
just went
though.
To the fucking like, he looked up who hosts the website, went to the web hosting, typed in admin and password, logged in and just sent him self-unlimited free pizza.
That's probably what happened.
I like that
energy.
It's
a
baller move.
I like that move.
Yeah.
Incredible move. He did this all summer. From May 30th and August 11th. He just was like ordering pizzas
worth of pizza.
And beverages.
Yeah, imagine how good a free pizza tastes. That's amazing.
Fantastic.
And even in the picture, like him standing in the courtroom, he's just standing there with his arms in front of him, like the "you know I had to do it to him" guy.
He does not look contrite. He's like, yeah, I did it and it was awesome. I'll do it again. I love pizza.
You allowed it to. It's like if you just left the pizzas outside and I took it and then you charged me with a crime.
Well, people do that though. Right? They like, remember how cops like leave Jordans in black neighborhoods and then when kids take them, they're like, you're arrested for stealing the things we left out.
Those are my Jordans.
It's my car.
People get a crazy idea about all this kind of stuff. Like, I knew a guy who used to go like dumpster diving for pizza because a lot of the pizza shops will just throw out perfectly good pizza, like stacks of them. Mm-hmm. And the one near his house, he was all mad. He was like, they started putting bleach in the pizza boxes.
Jesus.
I was like, what kind of fucking
that's
psycho
insane.
Goes
yeah.
to that
yeah,
length?
That's fucked up. Like, when I used to work at a bakery and I would literally just, like, there was a fucking church on my way home from work. So I would, instead of throwing the fucking bread out like the owner of the bakery, who never actually showed up to the fucking place to do work, he said, I just would drop it off at the fucking church. It's like, what? I mean, are they going to turn down free bread?
Probably not.
Right. Yeah. If there's a way to take like stuff that's going to get thrown out, you should do it every single time if you think you can get away with it.
Yeah. Completely diseased culture. That's just like eating, if not paying for it, is actually a crime.
Yeah. And it feels like a completely,
you have to eat.
It's like a made up thing that it, like in the same way as like if you try to like skateboard on the stairs at an apartment, someone's going to be like, oh, you can't do that because you might like break your arm and sue me. And then if you ask them, like, has anyone ever done that? They'd be like, well, no, but it, I might be the first one, so I don't want to.
It's
like,
actually wouldn't even kind of hold up in court.
Just fucking like walk up to be like, I'll sign a release. I'll sign a fucking just pull a release. Yeah, out of your pocket.
Who is going to sue like Panera because they ate a piece of bread from the dumpster and then got sick? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Just let people have the food.
Yeah,
just
that's how they
them.
Tricked people into tort reform.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean, it's almost like they've set up a culture for people to be afraid of that shit in the United States because we're like one of the most litigious countries in the world. We sue each other for everything.
Yeah.
And you know, people, there's like famous cases of like the lady with the McDonald's coffee or the guy who was burgling a house and stepped on a knife and sued the homeowner or like whatever. And we tell each other these stories because they reinforce the idea that like you should just be scared of everything and baby proof everything in your life because like liability is
especially
the biggest
your neighbors
evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which is not true. And almost all of those stories are fake.
Yeah.
Almost all of those it's stories true. Are like, oh, actually, the temperature was 1,000,000 degrees and McDonald's was clearly just being completely in the wrong there.
And yeah, exactly. It's like they kept burning people and then she sued for like her medical expenses only and then they refused. And so her lawyer like kept raising the price. And then it was like, oh, this dumb lady wants free money for not knowing coffee's hot. Yeah, that's not what happened.
Right.
Do your research.
So fuck that. That guy should be... the people who charged him, fuck them, obviously. That guy is a hero and should not be punished for anything.
I'm sure he can figure out how to access the website that opens his cell and just get out pretty soon because we're dealing with a master hacker here. Or a master That's accessor, true. I guess.
It's like the movie Hackers where it's like hacking is just typing fast. Yeah. But this guy, they made the mistake of allowing him to have like, they were like, oh, yeah, no, he's totally secure in prison. It's like, wait. Did you guys put away the Raspberry Pi?
Oh shit.
And he can hack that good. He can hack
yeah,
his
yeah, it's like
that.
Family is sneaking him an Arduino inside of a birthday cake.
No. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, oh, by the way, hello. This is BB Bledis. Speaking of you know, very intense trickery. We've talked a bit about the January 6th, the thing that happened on January 6th, where a bunch of dipshits waving no step on snake flags stormed the Capitol. And,
that wasn't Comic-Con? I thought that was Comic-Con.
That was Comic-Con this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a new version of it called Spectacle Con, where you just go and like enact the spectacle as best you can.
Just take part in it.
Like January 6th, a thing that was like by and large engineered to result in a clampdown on civil liberties.
For sure.
Like, like these people were let in because cops are obviously not going to beat up people that look like them. And then legislators were never in any real danger, despite what they tell you. Mm-hmm. And they're using it as like a moral outrage to further reinforce the already existing divide of the culture.
That's right. And to, as we said on like when it happened, the point of it was to, I mean, we can only speculate as to what the point of it and to what extent it was quote unquote set up. We have our feelings. But evidence wise, fact-based reality is that the only thing it has done is strengthen the Democrats' power.
Oh, yeah.
Consolidation.
To an insane degree.
Yeah. To because they recognize that there was a split, right? There was a splitting of... Because before, with Obama, Republicans didn't like Obama. And, you know, Democrats loved Obama or whatever. But the people who were paying attention to politics all believed that there was an order and that there was norms and we followed the systems and all of the structures were in place.
Yep.
And then with Trump, all of that started falling apart. And there was people who were involved and interested and cared a lot about politics who just thought it should be destroyed, not for any you know, good reasons, but they did want, you know, to see a whole party murdered or whatever from the right, And they were like, that's impossible. It doesn't matter if you're from the left or the right. If you want to attack America, obviously you want to attack, you know, U.S. hegemony. That's not allowed. So what they did is, instead of, you know, like treating them like leftists and then just like murdering them all, they did this thing. And you can see here on NPR, we have this article called "Former CIA Officer Treat Domestic Extremism as an Insurgency."
Yeah, they have training camps and shit. Ammon Bundy's got guys jumping around on like monkey bars and stomping through tires.
Well,
yeah.
Did you see on I think it was like on MSNBC or one of the like news, you know, lib news commentary shows. There were literally people like media figures that are like that have an audience, that have a platform, that are considered like part of the mainstream, that are saying, yeah, we should just drone strike these people. Where are the drones?
Jesus.
Like,
oh,
Christ.
Oh my God.
I did not see that.
That's why that I know you guys love to laugh when bad things happen to people that you don't like, but when the government is doing it, I have been saying this since the beginning. It's like, you can't, you can find it funny, but an abuse of power by the government against anybody is an attack on you. I mean, like, regardless of whether this person is, you know, a Gadsden flag wearing, yeah, like Trump merch buying moron, like, if they're getting drone striked, that means that's setting the precedent for drone strikes on American citizens. All right. Regardless of how stupid they
are. First, they stepped on SNCC, and I did not speak out, for I was not SNCC. it's true, though. It's unironically true, though. And here's the thing, is people will look at this and being like, oh, you're just proving liberal horseshoe theory. We can't possibly be nice to the far right. You don't have to be nice to the far right to recognize that, like, the government will just like go for the most objectionable people first in order to set a precedent to come for you next. Like, it's right. It's not an emotional thing. It's a tactical thing.
If you are nice to the far right, you can get a better price on ammunition.
That's true.
I've had to do that before. Look,
being nice to the far right can mean a lot of different things. If it just means chit-chatting with the guy behind the counter at the local gun store, by all means, make nice with the far right.
The problem is that my issue with that whole framing is that these people aren't the far right. These people are fucking liberals.
Right. I was going to say that it's like, yeah, it's like the thing is, like, no matter how many, like, they could drone strike 1,000 like MAGA people, and it's like, the real fascists are the military and the cops and the National Guard. And it's like, the fascists are already in power. So there's never a way that like Joe Biden or whoever is going to like root them out. And then that's the thing, is it's like Joe Biden isn't even afraid of like fascists. He's afraid of the left. He's like, oh, there's a lot of people who love Bernie Sanders, and I want to make sure that we're able to arrest them all before they start doing like the second Weather Underground or something.
The fucking liberals have known that they weren't going to be able to like do anything. Like, they were just loving not being able to do anything under the Trump administration. And in the meantime, they kept notes of everything they could save up and be like, oh, this is the danger now. This is what Joe Biden's presidency is going to suppress. Meanwhile, like, once Trump's out of power, like, all the Trump stands are just a fucking political busy box for liberals to look down their nose at. Like, yeah, they suck. Sure, obviously, but that doesn't matter. Like, that's no longer a political priority.
Exactly. Like, all of this is basically leading into a point that I wanted to make, which is like, AOC went on Instagram Live and was basically like doing bodies and spaces talk about how she felt traumatized because of the Capitol rioters were like banging on the door of her office. And then some people pointed out that her office isn't even in the building where the rioters were mostly. And yes, maybe some overflow of this riot may have gotten into her building, but like, by and large, she's been proven to have exaggerated her story in order to garner sympathy. And most of the Democrats have. The issue here is the framing, is that even by just questioning their narrative there, like, you're a piece of shit. If you see this like bodies and spaces shit and you're like, hey, maybe if you guys are like the party who controls two out of three branches of government, you have the fucking White House, you have everything, you have Silicon Valley, like, maybe you shouldn't be talking about how scared you felt, because it's very clearly a lie. And then if you point that fact out, that very clear, obvious fact, you're then called a piece of shit. You're called insensitive. You're called reactionary, because it's brainwashing, right? It is reinforcing the exact same culture war lines in the sand that were basically like fortified to an insane degree over 4 years of Trump. And they're creating an in-group, out-group dynamic where if you're not with the Democratic Party, because AOC and, you know, they've figured out how to use AOC as a figurehead now, right? Like the Pelosi-Schumer branch of the party has figured that out. And if you're not with them, you're against them. If you even question, so much as question whether AOC, it may have been exaggerating her experience on January 6th, or, you know, and that's emblematic of the entire Democratic Party overreacting and pretending that, you know, a bunch of idiots, you know, doing Fortnite dances in Nancy Pelosi's office is equivalent to like the fucking beer hall putsch. And it's like, if you question that, you're bad and you're with the enemy. If you believe them and their emotional appeals pull at your heartstrings enough that you're like, well, maybe she was traumatized by a Capitol police officer banging on her door to see if she's all right, which is what the dominant theory is that was what was happening. And if you give into that emotional appeal, then you're falling prey to this brainwashing. And it is just reinforcing the same kind of like in-group, out-group dynamic that leads to further culture war skirmishing. Right,
so it's like the Democrats took 4 years just to catch up to 2015 era DIY local music scene Facebook politics.
I mean, my thing is that I don't really give a shit if AOC, like Ocasio-Cortez may have very well been scared. No one gives a shit. Like,
I think it's good. I think that she should have been scared. I like it when my elected representatives are afraid of regardless of if it's the bad, if it's the big bad guys, or if it's, you know, like, I don't know, DS, Austin Red Guards. Ever be scared of the DSA the Austin Red Guards. It's like, I like Antifa. It when they're scared. They deserve to be scared. They should be fucking scared of us, not the other way around.
Right. But I think it's like, it doesn't really matter if like a couple of the rioters or even 10, like how many, like, this is the thing you get with in these conversations, you get into this stupid minutia of like, well, actually there is proof. And then you start like researching, like, well, actually two of the guys with flags went into the AOC's office or wandering out in that building. And it's like, no, it doesn't fucking matter. At all.
Correct.
The point is that this is still being talked about with this weight as though it is a fucking 9/11 level tragedy, exactly. When it absolutely isn't, except that the CIA
did
both of them.
They did a 9/11 on AOC.
No, like, that's, you know, right. The one person who died, it was a couple of people who died. One of them was just shot by a police officer. The other one was a police officer, which is cool. And I'm glad he's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it was barely anything. It's just a bunch of dipshits, you know, being sent by the intelligence agencies to do a demonstration of our nation is under threat from the rabble, the people, right? Because I think that it's an incredibly intelligent calculation, because if you had if you had during the summer said we're under threat from black extremists, we're going to kill them all, like, that would only reinforce liberals pushing liberals to the left. But trying to basically, like, what if we do the Black Lives Matter protests at the White House but with just a bunch of people who support Trump, and then say we have to crack down on the rabble, and then everyone's going to support you, every, like, you know, regular person who doesn't pay attention or supports Joe Biden is saying, yeah, sure, of course, they're evil. We hate them.
They're manufacturing the consent, folks. Mm-hmm. The consent, it comes pre-manufactured now.
It's in cans. You know,
the skeleton is there. All you got to do is furnish it.
I just want to say that I was on this tip first back when you guys
Nobody
were
cares.
Making fun of me for.
Oh, fuck you!
No one cares.
I had this take
it's
first.
Such
that
a
it's
fucking
like everything they do,
ass bullshit. To be
everything
like,
they do to the right,
first.
They're gonna do to the left. Yeah, but I mean, like, you guys were skeptical of me when I first brought it up, and now
we're talking. What are you talking about?
Literally saying the same.
I've said the same thing the entire time.
We want to roll back the tape. We want to roll back the tape.
You'll find out that the entire time I've been on this podcast, I've said the same thing, which is that the ruling class will never miss an opportunity.
I've actually never been wrong, so
I stand by every single thing I've ever said on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Ironic or cool. Unironic.
So cool.
I mean it. It was not parody or satire at all, and everything was completely accurate.
Yeah, I knew better than all of you back in 2012 when I put a "This Machine Kills Fascist" sticker on my bong.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah, what if the fascist got lung
next
cancer
to the Cypress Hill sticker?
Yeah, I was actually a communist before all of you, so I'm more right. The point is that the thing about whether AOC lied or whether she didn't lie, the point is that the entire Democratic Party has the same line. And the line is, it's the same thing as the Republicans. It's like, we're oppressed. We're oppressed and we're scared and you have to support us no matter what. And AOC is just the one that's directed at millennials who are on Twitter. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it's victim politics. It's like commodifying victimhood in order to exert power. But there's no power. There's no actual power at stake for AOC because she's literally just a figurehead influencer that they put on Instagram in order to make the party look good.
Right.
Well, AOC represents the Democratic Party, whether you like it or not. But the Democratic Party's interests are the interests of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the corporate interests that they serve.
Well, and it just like compared to millions and millions of Americans, there are zero congresspeople who have ever been through shit in their lives, who have ever had to deal with anything, who have ever been scared. Like, even if you just want to like do the superficial social justice calculus, like the Congress people do not rank. They are not in the running. They are to be fucking ignored. Like, I don't care.
Wasn't Susan Collins accosted by a bunch of child soldiers that belonged to like a militia outcry? I think they were called the Sunrise Movement, mm-hmm, or something.
Yeah,
like
it was the Rising Sun paramilitary. They stormed her office. Yeah. And, yeah, it was very, very traumatizing. But yeah, John's 100% right that it's like at the end of the day, you know, it's like whether or not AOC was scared. It's like we're talking about a person who makes six figures doing a fake job being scared. And you can talk about that, but then you should probably move on to all of the millions of people who make two figures or fucking, you know, it's like, what is minimum wage in this country? People are making fucking dirt wages and doing it while risking getting COVID, and millions of them are dying of COVID. And it's like, if you're supposed to be in the party that represents workers, if you're a woke like DSA millennial, then it's like, stop talking about your bullshit trauma and talk about that shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing now, because the Democratic Party and its weird like pseudo progressive outgrowths like the DSA, they don't represent workers. They represent like a privileged, like semi-professional class of people. And it's like, we don't need to get into that. But like, come on, if you're in the DSA, odds are you're not putting your life at risk every day for minimum wage. You probably are slightly up the rung on the economic ladder than that. And because of that, because they skew a little above the actual like people putting their lives on the line every day, doing service jobs and actual like, you know, they might still work for a wage, but they're soft, right? Like workers.
What does that mean? Hey, what are you doing?
I'm saying they're soft because they don't really have to deal with the struggles that the absolute bottom rung of workers have to deal with. Like a lot of DSA people are like software programmers. Some of them are like, they work in media and they might make like, you know, 50 to 70K. And it's like, because they skew that way, like it's kind of an elitist party. A lot of people are shut out and they don't really do a good job of attracting more people to that cause. It's just kind of more of the same types of people instead of attracting diverse people in.
Well, there's an element of what you just said that I really want to strongly agree with, which is that like the quote unquote left in the United States does a piss poor job of reaching out to people who are actually in very poor working conditions or lack of working conditions. And your average mainstream MSNBC or Fox or whatever is fantastic at it. They know the kind of, you know, they have everything algorithmically fucking programmed to be the hours that people are home from work. They know how to get you with the headlines. Like all of this fucking like like headline aggregate fucking like clickbait shit they already had figured out before clickbait was even a thing, before the internet was even around. And like, I do think that going forward, the left, however you want to characterize that, needs to be a lot better about making sure that we're in a space that, like, somebody who's maybe making $8 or $9 an hour, wherever that's minimum wage, is going to have access to us, you know, in the same way that they would have access to fucking Fox News or Rachel Maddow or whatever.
So in on that note, we are we're doing a special deal. if you use promo code beep beep at checkout, you can get 10% off your Uber Eats order.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very special order. We're now owned by Uber,
yeah,
which is owned by Amazon.
You can get an Uber Eats premium account and a 4chan gold account all in one convenient bundle.
Yeah. And if you act now, the first 500, you'll get a lifetime subscription to something awful, too. You can get all your internet needs taken care of.
It's a whole $10.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, speaking of the deaths of despair that this further austerity is just going to lead to, apparently McKinsey, if that name rings a bell, the McKinsey consulting firm is where our everybody's favorite rat human hybrid Peter Buttigieg worked before becoming the absolute embodiment of a virulent pest in the 2020
a literal bug
Democratic primary, a filthy, dirty, disgusting fucking rat, mm-hmm, who deserves just the most awful things, mm-hmm, to happen, yeah, to
a rat trap.
So it was in the New York Times this week. They published a headline that says McKinsey settles for nearly $600 million over role in opioid crisis. And I have to say, I was a little scared that was taxpayer money that was going to McKinsey somehow.
Listen, Brent, it's very traumatizing to realize that your advertising and marketing has killed people,
yeah,
because you made more money off of them taking drugs. So you kind of, they're dead. What are they going to do with the money? But you're alive and you're traumatized. So mm-hmm, you kind of need a little of that, a little of that thrill.
That's right. But
Do you think they're going to kill a bunch of working class people with now that opioids have been exposed for what they were, which was literally eugenics?
I don't know. Probably some new designer drug. I mean, there's always, mm-hmm, like 25 new ones on the market every month.
Or is it just COVID? Is it just lack of response to COVID? They're just letting people die.
I mean, yeah. That's true. I think you're right. They can kind of rest on their laurels while COVID happens and get their notes together for the next like manufactured epidemic, mm-hmm, that they're going to create.
Oh, they weren't resting. They were working on COVID that whole time.
They set up like a Zerg rush.
That was why Pete had to drop out. He had to like work full time on getting COVID ready.
That's right.
And just, you know, listeners, just so you know, they're going to start coming after podcasts. So this might be the last time you hear from us. And if that's the case, COVID was made in a lab. Mayor Pete did it. And also 5G Corona Bill Gates.
That's right. Well, they're probably going to come after podcasts with a fucking like licensing strike on the outro music, right? So, dear listener, get ready for all of our episodes going forward to simply have corrupted Game Boy music files as the outro.
Because we are way too lazy to go through all our old episodes and change
the music. Yeah, now that shit's going to be gone.
Yeah. Or we'll just put them on like the deep web somewhere. We'll like make
You're going to.
I'll figure it out.
I can make a torrent file, yeah.
Yeah, let's make a big torrent.
Can we put our podcast on the blockchain?
I bet.
Yeah, can we get Bitcoin going? That's backed by the number of episodes we produce.
That was a very early episode joke.
Yeah, I think it was.
Title. Mm-hmm. I think it was Beepcoin.
Yeah. Those are the days.
It all comes full circle, folks. Ever since Bernie lost all the leftist podcasts, brains have been broken. We have nothing to live for, and we're probably going to kill ourselves soon. So that's why we haven't been able to talk about anything worthwhile.
I mean, people keep wanting to talk about, like, you know, horseshoe theory, fishhook theory, ratchet theory. I'm talking about, like, smoking in a circle theory, where if you keep passing to the left, apparently things just come around again. And that's known as the dialectical cycle of history. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's German idealism.
That's correct.
In this article, it talks about how it was basically full on evidence that McKinsey helped the quote unquote turbocharge opioid sales. They worked with companies.
They were just pumping those numbers up.
Like Purdue Pharma. And we covered this when it happened a long time ago. Purdue Pharma was like, hey, McKinsey, how can we sell way more of this? We don't know how. And they're like, we'll just have every doctor prescribe it. And then also we'll give truckloads to the CIA to funnel into small towns, and then we'll just sell it on the street, and then everyone will be addicted to it.
Mm-hmm. And then Purdue was like, oh man, I didn't think of acting completely against the interests of my clients. I thought I should just give it to people who actually need it. But
yeah,
this is much better. This is a better way to make money.
You know,
so
I didn't think about doing a war crime, but this is a great idea.
Imagine though, follow me on this flight of fancy. You're a small town drug dealer. You live in a town of maybe like, I don't know, 4,000 people. Like not the smallest of towns, but pretty small. Mm-hmm. And this weird guy in a suit is all of a sudden your best connection to get OxyContin to give to your guys who sell it. Yeah. Like, that's got to be pretty fucking weird, right?
It's so weird. That's what fucking happened to Ricky Ross.
Yeah.
Like, Ricky Ross was like invented crack, and then like the guy like two above him was literally a CIA agent, and he was like, oh, hi. It's fucking insane that they're doing. And obviously, you know, just doing a genocidal project in America is not really like anyone's going to go to jail, right? This huge consulting company is having to pay $600 million in fines. And that's it. That's all that's ever going to happen with this. The opioid crisis.
I love it when it just comes down to fines.
An absolute slap on the wrist. People lost hundreds of thousands of people. Like, this was a genocide, and no one's gonna. I mean, the government isn't going to make anybody pay for it. There's no justice. I mean, what even is justice? But like, you know,
there's
like,
definitely going to be no attempt to like revamp the system. That
there's
allowed
definitely
it to
no vengeance. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's not even any kind of like restructuring or like consideration of whether it should be legal to make money off of things that can be addictive.
Yeah.
And are meant to be medicine.
Well, it isn't unless you are a pharmaceutical company, which I guess is different than
a tobacco company.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the fucking the companies that make those little snack cakes in the gas stations, lottery companies.
That's true. If I made a cake that tasty, they would throw me in jail. There's no way you'd be allowed to.
CBD products.
Correct.
Family the guy video. That sells me cocaine.
Well, and like, let's be clear. McKinsey makes, I just looked up McKinsey annual revenue. They make upwards of $10 billion a year. That's a 2018 figure. So $600 million is like a month of income for them. It is a seriously small little slap on
the wrist. This is the company that, if you remember the famous clip of Mr. Benjamin saying to Pete Buttigieg, you are working for a company that was fixing bread prices. This is the company that was fixing bread. Like, all they do is break the law.
Yeah,
like,
all they do.
Some people are addicted to bread, you know, it's carbs.
Yeah,
right?
You know, 100% of people who have ever eaten bread eventually die.
I mean,
damn.
I haven't died yet. I don't think that's, I think that holds true.
That's right.
You just wait the goddamn test of time. I will be proven correct.
Oh man, that's what I'm going to say at my deathbed. Like, goddamn it. John was right. Why did I eat that bread?
I should have.
Yeah. I could have been 102 and still alive, but now I'm dying.
I'm
going to
be the last one collecting all the money in our fucking, what's that called?
Like, Patreon?
Oh, yeah,
who's
going to
die last?
Oh shit. What is it called? We just watched an Archer episode that's about that, where Woodhouse is in one. It has like a weird name. It's like a... I forget. I'm sorry. This was pointless because you couldn't think of the name.
But there's some kind of bet where you bet on who's going to die last, and everyone's incentivized to murder each other, and it's very funny. Anyway, I mean, it's very absurd. And if you get a chance to hold McKinsey accountable, go ahead and do that.
If you're listening to this and you work for a regulatory agency that could do something to McKinsey, please regulate them.
Please
get
regulate
on their asses.
For the love of God.
If you're listening to this and you own weapons, you're cool. Just completely unrelated.
I can't believe nobody's posting about this. That would fucking change so much.
Yeah, they would be heartbroken.
If people would just post more, man, maybe some of these people would be behind the fascist bars.
Just use the post. Use the post office.
Use the Washington Post.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Use the post office, some fertilizer, you know, a couple 9-volt batteries.
I like what I'm hearing. Pipe.
Some shrapnel and
with all of that you can construct a Nintendo GameCube.
Oh yeah.
That's correct. That is exactly what I was talking about.
You have
about.
To three stock them on Final Destination. Three stock the CEO of McKinsey right. and Smash, and then he'll be well and truly shamed. And he'll probably kill himself out of the shame.
Well, none of these people are ever going to see comeuppance for murdering millions of working class people and causing untold economic horrors and families torn apart and destroyed. But, you know, they're going to get a nice slap on the wrist. So let's call it a job well done.
Congratulations, McKinsey.
And
shout out to you.
Speaking of a job well done, this Time article came out that is just completely baffling. There's a lot to it, but what it basically comes down to is, like, I've been saying this and you guys called me crazy, but the election was rigged, right? The 2020 presidential election was rigged.
If you'll
recall, like every presidential election before it, every presidential election that will ever happen in the United States, it was rigged.
Sure.
This one just happened to be more contentious than usual, and it was basically a rigging contest because both sides were working very, very hard behind the scenes, under the table, to make sure that their candidate won. Right, every election, it's a rigging contest.
Yes,
and at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is the deep state choosing a candidate and going for it.
Yeah.
Right. So what basically happened was, in this case, the deep state, the state, every NGO, every like progressive organization, apparently also Antifa, according to this article, got together to save democracy.
Gross.
In other words, basically rig the election, as opposed to the other side trying to rig the election for them.
Ugh.
And this, what puzzles me is this article is coming out and saying it, and why they would put an article out. Like the deep state and their like kind of puppets in kind of the rest of the media, they don't really do an article like this for no reason.
No, because bragging normalizes it, right?
Which leads me to the belief that I honestly think that it's a show of power. I think that because the right has been like, hey, this was obviously rigged, and it's like, what did the liberals learn from the Trump era? If your enemy accuses you of something, lean into it. And that's what politics is going to be from now on. It is, we no longer care about what we do. We no longer care about optics. We no longer care about appearing as if we're the morally superior party. We just care about power. And that is what every single thing since like, I don't know, the primaries when they went full mask off, like the Democratic primary, it's when they first went mask off, because they had been doing the same thing for, you know, for hundreds of years. But now it's just mask off. Everything is a consolidation of power. And that's what this article is. It is telling you that we have all the control and you have nothing.
Yeah.
So the framing of this article is, there was something that happened, and what happened was, is like what I was saying before, is that there was a distrust in the norms, in the infrastructure of our democracy, the way our democracy has to function, which is archaic and stupid, that everyone has to believe in that. And so I think the point of this article from Time, the motherfucking Hitler's the man of the year, and you say that they like, oh, they don't normally do this, but Time is the fucking same magazine that was like, here's how we cooed the Soviet Union into making Boris Yeltsin the president. Like,
yeah,
they do this all the time. The idea is that a bunch of people. It's funny that they use all of these words, the shadow campaign. The literal title of the article is "The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election."
And that sounds like a fucking YA novel, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign.
The Donald Trump's only mistake in the election was remembering that you actually have to pick up the phone and call people if you want them to help you win.
Yeah.
Like, he literally just like didn't show up for the 2 hours of work he was regularly supposed to do. Like, there was like basically the Democrats just kept chugging along at like 10% efficiency, and it was enough to steamroll the Trump staffers who were like, "Ooh, woo, we made a fucky wucky, a little fuck up boingo," and then they had no like recourse. Like, that was it. The election was over, and it's like, yeah. I've been saying since the beginning, like, every election is just a fucking rigging campaign. It's just like, who can spin it the hardest? Wait, there are countless movies about this. Like, every movie about being an election operative or trying to get somebody elected is about subterfuge, is about the corruption in politics. And then people are like shocked that it's real. Like, that doesn't come from nowhere. But that's not the superheroes and corrupt politicians are not the same level of like realism in representation. Like,
and what's strange about it is that, like, you know, the first election that I can really remember was like this, like way worse, honestly, like the fucking Brooks Brothers riot and then the recount in Florida and, you know, the Supreme Court just being like, actually, yeah, voting doesn't count. We do whatever we want and we're ratifying this. Like, that was the most, like, I mean, way more mask off than this. Like, that's just how a lot of people who are my age just entered the world of politics. Was just like, we don't give a shit. We don't care that if there was obvious fraud, we don't care that there was voter suppression. That's how it always works. It doesn't matter for no reason. Like, no legal reason was given. And the more you read about that case, the more it's just like, there's no voting. That's not real. Like, yes, they have votes, but the ones that get counted are entirely up to like local, you know, kings and queens of the party. And, you know, whoever can rig it best wins. And the Republican Party was in shambles and the Democratic Party did a much better job of doing their normal shit, like John said. And so this is just an article about how they, like, all of the corporate and, you know, government-backed, quote-unquote, labor parties and unions, like the AFL-CIO, were like, okay, we all want Joe Biden to win, so we're just going to all, like, make sure everything kind of goes according to plan as it usually does, and nothing crazy happens. And then they all just sort of work together to sort of make sure that happened. But I think what they're trying to say is that we made sure that the infrastructure worked properly and people weren't afraid that it was rigged.
Well, okay, so if they have completely exerted you know, mask off power over everybody, not just the people that storm the Capitol, not just, you know, whatever, if it's like, if it's liberal fascism, is it fascism by, like, hell, you know, yeah, people who have liberal Democrat aesthetics, what does anybody do other than just feel completely blackpilled?
You know, I've been, you know, feeling quite similarly, not because of, I feel like what has happened since this election, because we've talked about this, like, after Bernie lost, a lot of the wind went out of a lot of our friends' sails. There was a lot of like energy that like, oh, we could do liberal, the normal liberal shit that we do, which is like, get a poster and tell all of our friends to vote for a guy.
Right.
And that will bring something closer to socialism. And a lot of people were caught up in that possibility. And I mean, I think most of us here didn't really feel that anything like socialism was be achieved, but, you know, it felt like we are on the precipice of disaster in our personal lives and on a national scale. And, you know, we want to see something get better in like poor people's lives, like baseline harm reduction. A lot of people were talking about harm reduction. And when that dream ended, lots of people felt like there wasn't, you know, that was just staring down the barrel of a gun. And then now that this happened, where not only did Biden win and they're rubbing it in all of our faces, and they just did another, what feels just as bad as the Bush v. Gore election, where it was just like, we don't give a shit. You know, it does seem like by the normal standards of trickery and rat fuckery, like the Democrats would have won handily, not handily, like in a landslide, but like, it seems like they would have won. So it wasn't as bad, but like just the absolute, like, we don't care about your vote, like tons of voter suppression on all sides. Just felt like, well, what do you do? Like all of the people who the DSA, you know, ran and said like, oh, these are socialists, Democrats or whatever, like are all just falling in line behind the Democratic Party. Everyone's happy with Nancy Pelosi. I don't want to say that this is a hopeless situation. But I do think there's a certain level that like we at this point are not going to affect the state. There's not going to be a group of communists who take over or fix anything. I think that the bottom is going, my personal feeling is that something is going to happen that's going to be really intense. It's not going to be good, but it's going to be different. And I think what we should do, well, John, you were calling it communalism.
Yeah, I mean, like communization theory or something like that, like something with a strong level of prefigurative politics. But I think at this point, like if you're just feeling dejected, like if you're just feeling like, oh, is there no political hope beyond Bernie Sanders, then you've already missed the big picture the entire way along. Like we've said many times on this show, like Bernie was the compromise. Like yeah. He wasn't some ideal candidate. He's not some fucking Vladimir Lenin or like anything even remotely fucking close to that. He was a semi-acceptable candidate that within the current framework could provide some material gains for enough people that it might be worthwhile. You hear how many fucking qualifying words I'm using? Like that's where your mindset should have been this whole time. And with the downfall of that, like social kind of further left of the Democrats' energy, it should only strengthen your resolve that like this wasn't the revolutionary moment, and nothing regarding a fucking election except you maybe using the turmoil to stage a real revolution is ever going to be a revolutionary moment. Like everybody wants to think it's like Russia 1917 every time some vaguely left figure gets a fucking foothold in American politics, and it's like, you know, I've said it before, it's closer to Russia 1905. Like mm-hmm. Joe Biden is going to represent like a failed recapture of ideology where nothing actually gets better for anybody, and like I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but you need to steel yourself and be as fucking communist or anarchist or whatever you are as possible and try and convert as many fucking doe-eyed liberals to the causes you possibly can before the next potential for some like real unrest comes around the corner. Because the way things are going now, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the eviction crisis. I don't know if it's going to be climate change. I don't know, but it's going to be something. Another 100 years are not going to go by without a major upheaval on this planet and in this country. Especially, and you better be fucking prepared for it. Yeah, one way or another. So that's all I have to say is like, you shouldn't be like losing faith right now. You should be gaining grit and determination that like things are not going to be as easy as you thought.
You should, instead of losing faith, you should be buying ammunition.
Sure.
And you should be learning a trade, and you should be building dual power, and you should be doing all of the things to make your community self-sufficient and strong, because they're going to strip away every through austerity, they're going to strip away everything, and it's going to be a slow decline, and there's not going to be one big bang of a revolution or something.
True.
So you just have to make sure that you and your family and your community and the people you care about are close-knit enough that you can look out for each other, because the government sure as hell isn't going to look out for you.
For sure. And I think that there is a lot to be doing. And, you know, talk to your neighbors. Like, you know, talk to the people around you in your community. I mean, that's the thing. We're like ultra alienated right now. And there's a lot of free time and nothing to do. And I think that's what's making people feel extra insane. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, yes. I'm at the end of my rope, mm-hmm. monetarily.
I used to post for 1 hour per day, and now I post for 6 hours per day. Yeah, there's not six times more leftism happening. I can't imagine why.
And it's like, I'm at the end of my rope financially, emotionally, but but you can't even talk to people. Like, you can't even go up to strangers. And I know a lot of people are very like socially awkward or feel scared, you know, and shy, but like, you can't even like commiserate with other people. Like, and the conditions of the country right now are very strange, and allowing for almost no power to be consolidated around the workers at all, because we're all so separated, literally physically separated. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you can't talk to your neighbors. It doesn't mean you can't start thinking about who in this country is suffering the most because of this. Like, you know, maybe it's you, maybe you are a homeless person now, maybe you have lost your job, but there's lots of prisoners who are rioting. There are lots of homeless people. There are lots of jobless, you know, people
recently fired gig economy workers.
Absolutely. And that's not going to just stay this way. Like, unless they do some sort of like weird, like national socialist thing where they start giving every citizen a pod or whatever, and then like, deporting all of the Mexicans, which I don't think I don't think that this regime could really even do that kind of socialism.
Yeah, I don't think America is like capable of it, even if they wanted to. It's
we just don't have the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's too much built up. It's like Amazon has the infrastructure now, and Walmart and stuff. Like, if Walmart and Amazon and like a couple other companies wanted to like team up and form like a pseudo state that gave like people stuff.
That's going to happen.
Pseudo state, you say, Chris, because the next article that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is that Nevada has apparently made it legal for corporations to become their own state, folks.
That's correct. Well, be their own counties, but yeah, it's a step in that direction. So
where goes the county goes the city, and where goes the city goes the state, and where goes the state goes the world.
It's a bill that was introduced. Right. It has not passed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see no reason why it won't.
In Nevada, it will pass 100%.
Absolutely. That's like a libertarian.
I am a betting clear. Man, and I'm calling my bookie right now.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Grover House of States.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I just want to be clear that this is not currently law, as far as I can tell. But yes, a Nevada bill has been introduced by Governor Steve Sisolak.
Is there any relation to Mo from the Simpsons?
That's like a Mo Sisolak.
He runs a grape bar. And his plan is to launch innovation zones.
Oh boy.
In Nevada, to jumpstart the state's economy by attracting technology firms. The zones.
wait.
This sounds fucking awful.
Does this mean if I'm doing innovation and I'm not in a designated innovation zone, I'm going to get tackled by cops and tased if they see me innovating?
You're going to get drone strike.
Starting a fucking micronation in Nevada and being like, I'm basically Bell Labs part two.
You can do in the zone, you can permit the companies, that have a lot of land can form governments carrying the same authority as countries, including the ability to tax people, form school districts, courts, and provide government services. So it's
courts. That's insane.
And launch tactical McNukes at the neighboring counties.
Horrifying.
Yeah, this
absolutely the innovation zone is, it sounds like the back room of like a sex shop where they keep all the cool shit.
Get in the zone. Innovation zone.
Yeah. And there was a blind item posted. This isn't in the notes, but there was a blind item posted that somebody, you know what a blind item is, right? Listener.
A rumor.
It's a rumor. It's not necessarily, it's someone saying that anonymously, but,
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It was like before Harvey Weinstein got Me Too'd, there were blind items about Weinstein raping people and like Kevin Spacey. It's like, what I'm saying is that they're always true.
That mostly
a blind item is when two people who can't see decide to make it official.
But there's been blind items.
They're a blind item.
Yeah, they're actually a blind item.
There's people who are saying that this is a literally just for Tesla.
Oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Tesla has something called like a mega city in Nevada already where they make batteries. And lots of tech nerds who I know were saying that it was an incredible move because even if their cars don't work or don't sell, they're basically just a loss leader for being the lithium manufacturer of the world. Basically a huge battery manufacturing base.
There's one thing, but, if there's one thing that you can be sure of in Tesla's mega city, thanks to the high lithium content in the water, nobody will be bipolar.
That's right. Damn. They'll all be saved.
I didn't know that Tesla was producing all their batteries in the United States. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to drive down there with a U-Haul and throw them all into the ocean, but I'm going to drive down there with a U-Haul. Well, that's the problem,
John, it's lead acid versus lithium. Like lithium batteries, they actually make the ocean a better place, whereas lead acid batteries make the ocean a worse place, which
they
is what you want. You don't want
to
make the ocean a better place.
The electric eels.
They can't recharge on their own.
I don't
want
to hear it.
Yeah. Well, so they're going
to. They might recharge the electric eel, but Elon Musk sure knows how to turn me on with his electric
I love to recharge Elon.
It's so funny that Elon produces lithium batteries because there's no one I'd like to commit a battery against more than Elon Musk.
Hey, it's so funny that Elon Musk puts salt on his food because there's no one else I'd like to assault more. Am I right, fellas?
Parody satire, not actionable.
Yeah, so Elon is it seems, and just generally are bringing back company towns, which were just places where the company owned the whole town and they paid you no money, just script that could only be used and controlled your entire wages. Mm-hmm. This is literally just feudalism again. It's terrible.
It's going to rock.
And Elon wants to do space feudalism, too. That's his whole plan for Mars, set up a space fiefdom.
When Elon says dudes rock, he means dudes will be harvesting rocks from meteors and bringing it back to Earth.
Yeah. Game stonk.
He really has managed to become more insufferable and dangerous at the same time
in
the 2 years we've had this show.
We were wondering why we stopped doing Elon watches because we wanted to die.
You can't report on this shit anymore. Fucking Grimes dressed up and like did a fucking music video as the Let Them Eat Cake lady,
Marie Antoinette.
And it's just like, it's beyond parody. It's not even worth talking about because I can't crack a joke that won't be outclassed by next week's news.
I mean, this is the kind of thing I think we're talking about, right? Like, they are going to do this. Like, this is the path we're on. The path we're on is literal techno-feudalism. And they're going to, as we've said before, this is the Davos plan. They're going to wrap it up in, like, you can live in a smart city where everyone has a free Tesla and you get paid in Tesla bucks. And
Tesla coin, please.
You know,
it's
every like bullshit thing you read on Vox about how like in the Netherlands they use this kind of roundabout circle for their intersections, all of them are going to be like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's going to be like, okay, sure, that sounds cool. It sounds like we're making progress, but it's literally just going to be techno-feudalism. And so I think that for a while it's going to be difficult for people to understand that their rights are being stripped away, but I do think the people at their bottom are going to be fervently boiled like a diamond, and it's just going to start cracking. I think the end of the empire is coming soon.
Cheers. I'll drink to that, bud.
And speaking of the end of an empire, so Trump, he got a letter, a little letter from.
No, he wrote a letter. So SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, the union that for people just that don't deserve.
Yeah, the quote
union,
unquote
it's
union.
Basically just it's a labor union for pedophiles. basically, they were threatening to kick Trump out because of the January 6th.
They were
shit,
ready to go forward.
And Trump
with it.
Preempted them and was like, "Actually, you can't fire me. I quit." And he released this fucking awesome letter, which is kind of like a blast from the past because we haven't had Trump posts, so it's like we don't get the Trump.
You don't get the funny
content that we crave. Yeah, it's very entertaining, but this letter is like a concentrated month worth of Trump posts in one letter.
Read some.
So. Let's take turns reading it in our truck.
Oh, yeah, voices. I can't wait.
Miss Carteris, I write to you today regarding the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my union membership. Who cares?
Oh my God.
Well, I'm not familiar with your work. I'm very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Oh my God.
And television shows including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, and of course, one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few.
You know, this guy got a $110,000 a year stipend from SAG-AFTRA. Like, that was a big deal in 2015 when they were, like, trying to get him to disclose his financial information. Like, this is the funniest fucking thing for him to get kicked out of. Of all time.
It's incredible.
Like, I've also greatly helped the cable news television business, said to be a dying platform with not much time left until I got involved in politics and created thousands of jobs. It's true, at networks such as
also true.
MSDNC.
Is that really what
it
is? Oh, he gets the burn in.
And fake news CNN.
God, the rest.
Among many others.
Which brings me to your blatant attempt at free media attention to distract from your dismal record as a union. Your organization has done little for its members and nothing for me besides collecting dues and promoting dangerous un-American policies and ideas, as evidenced by your massive unemployment rates and lawsuits from celebrated actors who even recorded a video asking, why isn't the union fighting for me?
Oh.
Trump is the friend of the working man now. That is incredible.
It's the union.
Unironically, yes, he is.
These, however, are policy failures. Your disciplinary failures are even more egregious. I no longer wish to be associated with your union.
No way that Trump actually knows what the word egregious
means. Fucking lawyer write this up for him. And then he said, as such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation from SAG-AFTRA. You have done nothing for me.
You have done nothing for me.
And this huge fucking like Sharpie signature at the bottom. What? Like a child signature.
I miss him already.
He's so funny. That's incredible.
Dude. We did not deserve him.
How can you top the beginning? Who cares? Exclamation point. It's like a 5-year-old. Like, I don't even care if I have detention, Mom. Fuck you.
Yeah, they got to let Joe Biden out of his cage more.
Yeah, I want some like rambling corn pop stories.
They're photoshopping him onto the cover of magazines like Us Weekly, which leads me to believe that he's already dead.
Yes, correct.
They're just waiting for the right time to be like, and your Yas Queen president.
Yeah, I feel like they figured out the exact right amount of adrenochrome to put into a corpse that it will like repeat things. Sometimes it glitches, like when his handler said, salute the Marines, and he went, salute the Marines, and then walked past them. Yeah. But yeah, they're just waiting to pull the adrenochrome plug, and he's going to kind of, remember in one of the Indiana Jones movies when the guy ages in real time? Just like becomes,
the last one.
Or ages really fast and becomes like a paper like figure.
They're just waiting for the right day to put the Visine in his Huel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's just going to be eating his oatmeal one morning and he's just going to have a fucking cardiac arrest. And that's going to be it. Like, it was probably today. They're just waiting to report on it till tomorrow.
Yeah. And then they're going to ask Kamala, like, Kamala, does this death remind you of any famous celebrity that you may love when they died? And she'll go, Tupac.
Well, when that day comes, we will absolutely be one of the first leftist podcasts to pivot to being just an all Yas Queen, all pro podcast.
Correct.
Because we don't want to get our asses drone strike. Mm-hmm. That's been the episode, folks.
Thanks for listening. This has been Beep Beep Lettuce. Please talk to your neighbors. Try and make forums in your neighborhood and communities that make each other strong. Follow us on Twitter at WeedPod. Follow us all individually. We're worried about Mids posting. Zuck has said, I don't think we talked about this, or I wasn't there when we talked about it, but Facebook is trying to make politics not available on Facebook. So everyone's afraid that Mids posting is going to go away. So be careful.
Which would be a big loss, but I think would overall be a
net positive,
a benefit to society.
But you can hang out with us in the Discord if you'd like. But also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce, where you can get Discord access there. Also bonus episodes. So we'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Beep on, y'all.
Keep beeping.
to pieces. I reach my last resort, suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding. Do you even care if I die bleeding? Would it be wrong, would it be right? And I'll drink my life tonight. Chances are that I might. Mutilation out of sight. And I contemplate suicide. Cause I'm losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. Losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding. Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding. I never realized I was fair to thee. Till it was too late and I was empty within. Hungry, feeding on chaos and living in sin. Terror, spiral, where do I begin? It all started with